At midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And so again we hear this image that Jesus uses in a lot of his parables, this image of the bridegroom. And when Jesus talks about the bridegroom, he's talking about himself. Jesus himself is the bridegroom, and his bride is the church. That's us. And so this image of bridegroom and bride really evokes a human marriage, the image of a marriage relationship, that lifelong faithful relationship between a man and a woman. And that marriage, that human marriage is good. It's part of God's creation. In fact, it's very good. At its best, it's meant to be a reflection of that love that Jesus has for his church. That's what the vocation to marriage is. It is meant to be. It's a reflection of Jesus' own love for his bride, for the church. And yet, at the same time, no matter how good a human marriage might be in this life, it will never quite be able to fully satisfy that deepest thirst in our souls, that thirst that we expressed in our responsorial psalm when we prayed, "My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God." You know, as much as our different relationships in this life might be very good and might lead us closer to the Lord, there's something deep in our souls as human beings that can only be satisfied by Jesus. And I think this really brings up just a fundamental question that might seem very simple, but the question is, you know, what is our faith all about? Why are we here? Like, what at the core, what's the point? What is being Christian, being Catholic, really all about? And Pope Benedict XVI, in one of his most famous lines, he answered that question in this way. He said, "Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but it's the result of the encounter with a person, an encounter which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction." And so, what is this all about? What's the point? Well, it's about a person. It's about Jesus. And that's not to say that the ethical choices and the lofty ideas are not important. They are very important, but they make sense only as if they follow from our encounter, our relationship with that person, with Jesus, the person who looks at us differently than any other person in the universe, the person who knows us, who sees who we really are, and who loves us. And so the fundamental purpose, why we are here, is to fall in love with this person, the one who has loved us and given himself entirely for us. And now this encounter with Jesus is the core, is so central to everything. And yet, even if we have already encountered Jesus, we already have, you know, a relationship with him, the strange thing is that it can be easy sometimes to let our love for him, for Jesus, fade over time, to let our lamp go out, so to speak, like those virgins who are awaiting the bridegroom. It can be strange, but that can, you know, can naturally happen over the course of that relationship, to let that love not burn as brightly as it once did. This was the case with a certain group of people early in the church, the people at the church in Ephesus. So in the book of Revelation, we hear the Lord speak to the people there in Ephesus, telling them, you know, basically, you're doing a lot of good, and you've gone through a lot just to, you know, be Christians, but there's one thing wrong. There's one thing missing, and that is that you have lost the love that you had at first. You have lost the love you had at first. No matter whether we've been trying to follow Jesus for just a little while or for our whole lives, there's always that danger that we'll simply get used to it and stop actually loving him. And that's why it's always important for all of us just to remember why we're here and to renew our love for Jesus again and again. And so that initial encounter with Jesus and falling in love with him is crucial, but the question remains, how do we sustain that love? How does that love grow? How do we keep that lamp burning? And I think the image of marriage can also help us answer this question. So since I've been here at St. Andrew, I've already begun getting to work with various engaged couples as they prepare for marriage. And honestly, at least for me, it's been one of the most beautiful parts of being a priest so far. Really inspiring to me to see the holiness and the love of these couples. And although you know these couples have agreed to get married, they're still in a sort of in-between phase in that engagement, waiting and planning. And for some, for several, you know, they eagerly await that day when they can finally come and be married and live together as husband and wife. And for these couples, you know, as the days, weeks, and months pass, you can imagine, of course, there's a lot of excitement. But at the same time, they know that the love that they have for one another doesn't just sustain itself automatically. Rather, they know that in order to keep that lamp lit, they need to put in the effort to keep cultivating their relationship. They need to, for example, talk to each other every day, whether, you know, it's through phone calls, text messages, even letters. You know, they need to visit one another often, especially if they live far apart. They even need to make sacrifices for one another. You know, during the engagement, often a woman will wear a ring, an engagement ring, and you know, even though she's not married yet, that ring is a sign that her heart is not just available to be given to anyone. She belongs to this one man in particular. And so that also means that both of them need to make that sacrifice to protect their hearts in order to, you know, avoid being pulled in various other directions and to stay faithful to one another. And so, of course, much of this is meant to continue even after these people are married. But I think you can see it, especially in that period of engagement, that time, that, you know, that time of waiting is not meant to just be idle waiting. It's meant to be a time when the two of them work together to keep their love for one another growing. And so for all of us as Christians, this life is kind of like our engagement to Jesus. You know, we love him, we've promised ourselves to him, and yet we're not there yet. We're still waiting for that fuller relationship with him that ultimately will come only in heaven. And so, to just be honest about it, there's no way that we will be prepared for that wedding day if we don't put in that same kind of effort to keep that fire of our love for him burning, even as we're waiting for him to come. So like those engaged couples, we can talk to him every day in our prayer. We can visit him often, especially here at church as he's present in the Holy Eucharist. Also like those engaged couples, we can protect ourselves from being pulled in other directions, you know, even in some cases by saying no to certain relationships, activities that might lead us away from Jesus. And if we are ever unfaithful to him, we can always come back and be reconciled and relight those lamps in the sacrament of confession. So, you know, we may not be able to see him or be with him perfectly yet, but there are still lots of these ways that we can work together with Jesus to sustain, to strengthen our relationship, our love for him, to keep falling in love with him. And if we don't live like this, if we don't live like we're engaged to Jesus, then like those 10 virgins, we run the risk of our lamps going out. But allowing our lives to become more and more like an engagement to him, is how we can be sure to be ready for his coming. And even as we await our bridegroom and strive to maintain and deepen that love for him, it can be easy sometimes at the same time to get discouraged by his delay. You know, especially when we see, when we look around and see the darkness in the world around us, when we see the darkness within ourselves, we might begin to wonder, you know, if he loved us so much, why would he let us go through all of this? Why would he wait so long to come? And just acknowledging that experience, that reality, you know, let's just listen once again to the words of the gospel. It says, "At midnight, there was a cry, 'Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" So our bridegroom is not like most bridegrooms. Most bridegrooms would certainly make sure they got to the wedding during the day when the celebration would still be able to happen, or at least before midnight, right? But this bridegroom is different. This bridegroom comes precisely at midnight, when the darkness is at its worst. And this will be the case in a definitive way at the end of time, but it's also true right now. It's also true in many ways throughout our lives, that Jesus wants to meet us at midnight, in the place where we need him the most. That's where we need to wait for him. That's where we need to keep our lamps lit. That's where our love for him can grow. In the words of St. John, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And I know that the darkness is really bad, and it can seem sometimes like it's practically midnight in all of our own struggles, in our families, in the world. But the Lord urges us, do not be afraid of that darkness. It's actually there that he wants to love us. He wants our love for him to grow. It's there that he wants to come to us. And so, as we prepare to have him come to us still in this hidden way, in his body and blood, may Jesus help us not to look at that darkness with discouragement or despair, but instead to look to him, to look for his coming, to submerge our lamps in the oil once again, and to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, my soul is thirsting for you."